Jeremiah chapter 20.
Jeremiah chapter 20. I am, I always get, not nervous, but a little apprehensive whenever we're getting ready to take a trip, because if I preached for 20 minutes tonight, you would say, oh, he's just ready to get out of here. And so since I don't want you to think that, if I preach for 45, you'll think, oh, he wants to stay longer. But I do know we have things to get to after this. I'm just going to preach how I preach, okay? Amen. Amen. So if it's 45 minutes, it's 45. If it's 30, it's 30. If it's less than 30, I will surprise myself. And everyone else. We're in the book of Jeremiah, and my goodness, Jeremiah is in a different place when we come to Jeremiah chapter 20. We've been talking about Jeremiah going through some persecution as he has been faithfully delivering the word of God to Israel and to Judah and that divided kingdom. And as we see this here in chapter 20, it is a different look. We find a glimpse, just a glimpse, of Jeremiah delivering a particular message from God. But then after he delivers that, Jeremiah is going to share a little bit about what is on his heart. And when we see the heart of Jeremiah, I want you to pay very special attention to what is taking place in his life and how he is dealing with it. But he is facing some opposition, and the opposition is strong, and the opposition is really weighing heavily upon the man of Jeremiah. And I also want to remind you, as we go through this passage, there are many times when we read through the Old Testament and even the New Testament, and we look at the men and women in Scripture as heroes oftentimes, amen? And certainly they were. They did amazing things, and to see how God used them in particularly. But sometimes when we start to look at them as heroes, we sometimes stop looking at them as people. And we look at them differently. But tonight you will hopefully be reminded of the humanness and the person that is Jeremiah. And it's very possible that as you see the person who is Jeremiah, it's very likely that you will see a glimpse of even yourself through this. But the Bible says in verse number 1, we'll pick up reading, where the Bible says, "Now Pashur, the son of Imar, the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in stocks that were the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. And it came to pass on the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him, The Lord hath not called thy name Pashur, but Magor Missabib. For thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will make thee a terror of thyself and to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and thine eyes shall behold it. And I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon and shall slay them with the sword. Moreover, I will deliver all the strength of this city and all the labors thereof and all the precious things thereof and all the treasures of the kings of Judah will I give into the hand of their enemies, which shall spoil them and take them and carry them to Babylon. And thou, Pashur, and all that dwell in thine house, shalt go into captivity, and shalt come to Babylon, and there shalt thou die, or thou shalt die, and shalt be buried there, and all thy friends to whom thou hast prophesied lies. So tonight, as we look at Jeremiah chapter 20, we're going to look at this opposition to the prophet. Let's pray together, shall we? Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for this night. We thank you for such a time as this, that we can gather together and sing songs of praise to you and hear the testimonies of your people and read your word, listen to a message. God, we do all of this that we might draw closer to you. We do all of this that we might increase our knowledge of learning, for we could have a stronger and deeper relationship with you as our God. Thank you for saving us through the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. And tonight, as we look at this passage of Scripture concerning your man, Jeremiah, one that you had your hand upon, you guided his life and put words in his mouth to speak. Father, may we hear them. But as we go into this passage tonight, Lord, may we see who Jeremiah was. And may we understand with a heavenly understanding of exactly what he was going through. Help us in this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So we find Jeremiah, the prophet, prophesying, going about, giving a message that really wasn't that comfortable to give. And we know that in other passages, in previous passages, if you've been here each week and you've seen how Jeremiah has preached faithfully and preached the preaching that God had bid him to do. There wasn't one message that Jeremiah said, "Lord, I can't deliver that one." And we have to know that within this, as we look at Jeremiah, and it really shouldn't be any surprise to us that through these messages, Jeremiah has found some enemies. He's found some enemies here. And in this, it makes really all the reason, as we know that while Jeremiah has preached these things, we also know that the total length of ministry time for Jeremiah was roughly 39 and a half to 41 years long. So by the time we get to chapter 20, Jeremiah had been preaching a great deal of time. And what he had been foretelling was the judgment and the coming judgment of God. And we find in each description prior to this that each time Jeremiah preached what God had told him to preach, he always gave the message from God that there was indeed a way out of this coming judgment. And we see the long-sufferingness of God. Now, you tell me, if I told you for just this Sunday, you know, you really don't want to sit right here, because these lights are going to fall. You might, you know, I mean, I'm telling you, these lights are going to fall. Ella, you are in light falling range. I mean, you're right below it. You might want to move down. Now, if she felt like she was in danger, she might move down. She might look up and say, "Nah, looks okay to me," which is what she did. Very good, Israelite. But what if I said that every week for 10 years? Some of you would begin to scoff. Like, yeah, right, it's going to fall. I'll sit wherever I want. As a matter of fact, I dare you, I'm going to sit right under it. And that's what Israel was doing. Jeremiah was saying, repent, repent, because God is going to judge you, and He's going to judge you for your thievery, for your idolatry, for your adultery, and all of these things. He goes through and He lays the case, and God's going to judge, God's going to judge, God's going to judge. And yet God hadn't judged yet. The lights are going to fall. And they said, no, I don't think so. But even in that, as Jeremiah proclaimed the message, they began to resent Jeremiah. You know, how in the world are we going to, put up with this? Well, here we have this man by the name of Pashur that we're introduced to in chapter 20. And I want you to notice who Pashur was by way of introduction. He was the son of the priest. Let's just for illustration's sake go with a New Testament rendering and say it's Asher. Asher, come here. Asher is the son of the preacher. Just stand right there. He is the son of the preacher. Asher. That's the New Testament rendering of Pashur. I'm kidding, by the way. That is not the New Testament rendering. Asher is actually Old Testament, right? Good. I'm glad you know that. But Pashur, being the spiritual man that he is, I mean, his dad is the priest. As a matter of fact, not only is his dad the priest, but notice what it says here. He was also chief governor in the house of the Lord. So now, not only is his dad a priest and he knows all the religious beings, he knows all of the religious activities, he knows everything that is in Israel, he knows all of the law that God has given, he knows all of those things, but yet he is there and he is now put in charge of a certain part of the house of the Lord. Oh, he is one of importance. He's the preacher's son. He's the governor, which simply means he's been given charge to govern over part of the house of the Lord. So, Pashur hears Jeremiah. And he has been told, many people have come to him and said, hey, Pashur, did you hear what Jeremiah said? You didn't hear it? Well, let me tell you. Let me fill you in on what Jeremiah, this prophet, and anytime you say prophet, you got to put the quote marks up there because he's really not a prophet, but he says he's a prophet, and he says he has this message from God, and he keeps saying that these lights are going to fall, and God's going to make them fall. But do you see this? Elijah won't even move. He knows they're not going to fall. Or does he? Oh. And so all of these people come and they're reporting all of this to Pashur. And one day, Jeremiah is out there and he's preaching. And he's prophesying what God has given him to say. And Pashur hears it. And he's like, okay, I've had enough. Now, let's change the roles just because we can. I am now Pashur. He is now Jeremiah. So Pashur comes as Jeremiah is preaching. Put your hand out like this. All right, so he's preaching. Just do this right here. Keep going. So Pashur comes up and says, he smite him. Or he smote him. You can stop because now you're injured. All right. So not only does he smote him, but he also puts him in stocks. And so he brings him over right next to the house of the Lord. And so he puts his hands in stocks. He puts his feet in stocks. Very likely, he puts his neck in stocks. And makes Jeremiah a laughing stock in Israel. See? He is laughing. Except the problem is Jeremiah wasn't laughing. Oh, we certainly was. You can have a seat. Thank you for your help. So Jeremiah is in these stocks. Now, the Bible does not give us the insight to the mind of Jeremiah while he is in these stocks. But it does tell us, when Pashur brought Jeremiah out the next day out of the stocks, what Jeremiah had to say. We read it just a few moments ago. Jeremiah delivers to him a message from the Lord. And he said, "The Lord hath not called thy name Pashur, but Magor-Missabib. For thus saith the Lord." And I want you to notice something. Anytime you find a prophet in the Old Testament, one of the ways you can tell that he is indeed a prophet is for he always pronounces every message he gives, "For thus saith the Lord." Every time. You can't mistake one of the prophets of God, because they knew that their only message that they could deliver came from God. And they wanted everybody to know. And you'll see as we read through how many times he says, "For thus saith the Lord." Throughout the entire book. So verse number 4. "For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will make thee a terror of thyself." Isn't that amazing? So God, speaking through Jeremiah, says, "Pashur, oh yeah, listen up, bud. Listen up, because I'm going to make thee a terror of thyself." Basically, that's one way of saying you're going to reap what you've sown. Some of you know what it is to be a terror of thyself. I know what it is to be a terror of myself. You would say, "Oh, I don't want to do that." But see, here he says, "I will make thee a terror of thy, or to thyself and to all thy friends." He says, "Yeah, you guys were laughing it up while I was in the stocks here, but you're going to be a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and thine eyes shall behold it, and I will give all Judah in the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword." So in this opposition of the prophet here, we see this message. Now, the message up to this point that God has given to Jeremiah has been one of somewhat generalities. Basically meaning this: Jeremiah has proclaimed that God is going to judge, and that there were going to be other kingdoms that were going to come in upon Judah and upon Jerusalem and overtake them. But nothing as specific as this is in Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah is getting real with Pashur here as he says that the king of Babylon is coming. And everybody knew in this day and time that Babylon was the great city. Babylon was the city that had the most power. It had the most money, the most fame in all of the world in this particular time. And he says, "You're going to fall by the hand of the king of Babylon. He's going to carry you and them captive into Babylon and shall slay them with the sword." As a matter of fact, Pashur, he's going to carry all of you into Babylon. You're going to live and watch your friends as they die. A terror to thyself. Yes, you're the governor of the house of the Lord and your dad is the priest, but get ready, because when the king of Babylon comes, know that it's from God. Moreover, verse number 5, "I will deliver all the strength of this city and all the labors thereof and the precious things thereof and all the treasures of the kings of Judah will I give into the hand of their enemies, which shall spoil them and take them and carry them to Babylon." He says, everything you hold precious, everything this city of Judah holds precious, it's going to be carried off into Babylon. "And thou, Pashur, and all that dwell in thine house shall go into captivity, and thou shalt come to Babylon, and there thou shalt die, and shalt be buried there, thou and all thy friends to whom thou hast prophesied lies." You see, Jeremiah had been telling the truth. Pascher had been saying the entire time, hey, Ella, don't worry, those lights aren't going to fall. That's just Jeremiah. He's a crazy man. He's been saying all this stuff for years. You're perfectly safe. This side over here, Elijah, you are perfectly safe. That light's good, man. You don't have to worry about that. So Pascher was saying, you know how long Jeremiah's been saying this nonsense? God's going to judge. Have you seen anything yet? No. Yeah, we are okay. And yet they weren't okay. What they were only going through was, again, that long-suffering hand of God longing for them to repent of all that they had done and turn back to the ways that He had told them. And Jeremiah says, you've been prophesying lies, but you're going to find out that God is true. That's the opposition of the prophet. Now, verse number 7, we're about to see something that is truly gut-wrenching, okay? Because in verse number 7, we see Jeremiah after verse number 6. We see Jeremiah after Pascher had smote him. We see Jeremiah after he was in the stocks. We see Jeremiah after he delivered this message to Pascher from God. And things really look bleak. Because in verse number 7, Jeremiah says, O Lord, Thou hast deceived me. And I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. Stop right there just for a moment. Wow. Jeremiah had been faithful. He had been faithful here for years. He's done nothing but deliver the message from God. But apparently Jeremiah had had enough. He was at a breaking point. So much so that he said, God, you lied to me. Now he just told Pascher, he said, you've been prophesying lies. And yet Jeremiah comes to God. He says, God, you lied to me. Now, the Bible doesn't say this. I don't want to put anything in the Bible that it doesn't say, but I think it's very possible that as Jeremiah is saying the things that we read in Scripture, I can see from, if it were me in this same place, Jeremiah saying, Lord, you lied to me. You deceived me. You said you were going to judge these people. And nothing's happened. I've been saying for years, repent. And they haven't. And you haven't. Now again, I don't want to put anything in Scripture that's not there, but again, I can see that. Lord, you deceived me. I've cried out. I cried violence and spoil. I've told them that they're going to be overtaken. I've told them that they're going to be judged. And nothing has happened. The only thing that's happened is it's been a reproach unto me and a derision every day. I'm not going to speak in his name again. done. Could you imagine? Now, some of you are thinking, yeah, that's pretty reasonable. Some of you, if you're anything like me, we get on this side of things, and let's bring this to our day. We get so accustomed to everything being fast and quick and instant gratification. Jeremiah had waited for years to see the message that he had delivered faithfully come to pass. And it hadn't. And some of us, we wait for 10 days. And we say, I've prayed about this. God, you haven't moved. You haven't worked. You haven't done what I wanted. I'm done. Forget you, so to speak. I don't need to go to church. Look at everything wrong in my life. Don't you care? Obviously not. So we quit. Jeremiah quit. Now, you know what? We could say this too. Jeremiah quit, and he was the preacher. I can quit too. Jeremiah said, I'm not going to preach anymore. Not another word. But something happened in the midst of verse 9 where we stopped. As he said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Jeremiah is saying, as he was saying in himself and to God, I'm not going to speak any more in your name. I'm done. I quit. But yet there was something stirring up inside of him. There was something stirring up within his heart. There was something stirring up within his bones. There was something stirring up from the deepest bowels of his gut, that it was the fire of God burning within him. God getting a hold of his heart. And while he is going through this sorrow, he is going through and about to enter into some joy. Remember, we talked about this morning that if we're going to have joy every day of our life, we're going to have to do it in the presence of God, in His presence. And here's Jeremiah as he says this, I could forbear it anymore. I could not stay, for I heard the defaming of many. Fear on every side, report, say they, and we will report it. All my familiars watched for my halting, saying, peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. But O Lord of hosts, that triest the righteous and seest the reins in the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them. For unto thee have I opened my cause. Sing unto the Lord, praise ye the Lord, for he hath delivered the soul of the poor from the evildoers. You see, even in the midst of Jeremiah's sorrow, he found a complete joy in God. Jeremiah said, I'm done. Something burned inside of him. He said, God, please, please, may I see it. Verse number 13, I think, is key. As he said, sing unto the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, for he hath delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of the evildoer. Music's important in our life. I hope it is in yours. But there's something about a godly music that ministers to our heart. I'm reminded of Saul as the Bible describes the evil spirit coming upon him, calling for someone to come and play some soothing music. They call for David and said he's a master harpist. And David comes in and he begins to play the harp. And the Bible says that that evil spirit departed from Saul. I don't know if that's how you play the harp or not, but I've always wanted to try. But David played it. And that evil spirit that Saul had within him, the Bible says, departed. Sometimes we get mad, we get angry. You might just try singing a song about the Lord. Because I personally tried this years ago, and it worked, and it still works. It works so much that I don't have to do it quite as often as I used to 10, 15 years ago. When I found myself getting upset and getting mad and getting angry, and if I would just take a moment and sing one song, it seemed to take that spirit away from me. See, the song goes like this. There is a song in my heart today, something I never had. I don't know the rest, but I know the chorus. And you can't sing this and be mad. Oh, say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad. That's probably not even how it goes, but it's close as far as the tune and the melody. But you can't be mad and sing, oh, say, but I'm glad. I mean, could you imagine? Oh, say, but I'm glad. It just doesn't go together, does it? No. It certainly does not. But you try it. Learn that song. Maybe you may have another song. You might sing Victory in Jesus. Yeah. You might sing In My Heart There Rings a Melody. I'm telling you, if you're singing about the melody in your heart from God Almighty, you won't stay angry very long. Amen. Jeremiah said, sing praises unto Him. We see the prophet's opposition from Pashur. We see the prophet's sorrow turning to joy. But I want to tell you something. Jeremiah's anguish was very, very real. He went from sorrow to joy to anguish. Look at it in verse 14. I mean, if before I read it, just real quickly, if we were going to put a modern day definition on what Jeremiah was going through, we'd probably say Jeremiah was bipolar. Because look at this. Jeremiah has gone through this and he's down. And he's saying, I quit, I'm done, no more, I'm not speaking in His name. And then he's saying, sing unto the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, for He hath delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of the evildoers. Hold on a second. Verse 14. Cursed be the day wherein I was born. As a matter of fact, let not the day wherein my mother bare me be blessed. Cursed. Let's take this a step farther. Cursed be the man who brought tidings to my father, saying, a man-child is born unto thee, making him very glad. And let's take it a step farther. That man that came and told my father, a man-child is born, and he's happy and joyful, let that man be as the cities which the Lord overthrew and repented not. And let him hear the cry in the morning and the shouting at noontime. Hold on a second. Because he slew me not from the womb, or that my mother might have been my grave, and her womb to always be great with me. Wherefore came I forth out of the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame? He's in sorrow, but some joy comes. But now he's in complete anguish. This is the prophet. This is Jeremiah. This is Jeremiah, who had a message from God and had message after message after message from God, year after year after year, to where Jeremiah is doubting his complete call. Will you hold your place in Jeremiah chapter 20 and go back to Jeremiah chapter 1? I want you to see the significance here within this anguish. In verse number 4 of chapter 1, the Bible's introduced us to Jeremiah. In verse number 4, he says, "The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant." Jeremiah got real here in chapter 20, didn't he? I think the very reason Jeremiah said that I never should have been born is directly connected back to chapter 1, where God knew him, called him, and ordained him to do exactly what he was doing. Now, Jeremiah asks a question in verse 18. "Wherefore came I forth out of the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame?" What was I made to do? I mean, do we see this anguish? Now, from chapter 20 to chapter 21, we really have no idea what transpires. We really don't. It appears from chapter 20 to chapter 21...